Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. How you doing? Welcome to the Huddle Israel Doctrine. I'm your host, Carl Albert, and you have now entered into the huddle. And tonight we're talking about friends as a reminder to keep the covenant and what part of it. There's a particular part that came with the adding of fringes, people. Fringes are a reminder to keep the covenant, but it's a particular part. Remember that. Know that. I'm going to say that from the jump. We're not even going to play no games with this topic. Right? Now, when it comes down to it, fringes was added because of the breaking of the covenant. Let's get that right and exact from the door. Fringes is in the law, just like a lot of other things that's in the law. But most definitely those things that was added due to sin has been taken away. The washings, the sacrifices, the eatings, the this, the that, everything that was added because the sin was taken off the table, people. It was never supposed to be there, just like death. Eventually, death is going to be taken off the table because it was never supposed to be there. That's only if Adam and Eve disobeyed and ate from the tree. That wasn't the original plan. God set things in order from the foundation. Man knocked it off order from the foundation. And then he gonna put it back in the proper order. He always does it. And the script, the text is gonna prove this without a shadow of a doubt. Because the Bible withstand all criticism, hate, ridicule, so on and so forth. I got my brother Kevin in the house. Peace, how you doing, Kev? You gotta open up your mic. You might be busy.
Peace.
Yeah. Sister, can you hear him?
Yes, I can hear him. Peace, brothers.
Peace. I just wanted to make sure you can hear him, so I'm gonna close the mic. I'm gonna close your mic back down. I'll open it up in a little bit.
Okay.
Now, for the people out there on YouTube watching in and stuff, the phone number to call in is 646-668-8071. That's the number to call in. If you have any discrepancies with whatever you hear here or being presented here, then feel free to call in and let us know what you had a problem with. If it's sound and it's good, and you learn something from it, call in and let us know what you learned or took from the show. So with that said, you want to start off, bro? Or what?
We just shift that to the covenant, really.
Well, I just want to, let me kick this one off then just to start it off. So you, the people can have it in their head. John 4:23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. But the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's how he wanted done, people, in spirit and truth. Everything else we talk about here, if it's not in his spirit and if it's not in the truth, then you're not a true worshiper of God. So, the Father that is of Jesus. Let's make that specific. All right. How you want to do this?
Hey, let's just start with the covenant. What the covenant is. And how the law was added. You know, how the fringes came into play. Let's show on the covenant first. We need to see that.
All right, well, if you want to kick it off, if not, you know.
what I'm going to do is I'm assisting you.
Okay. Well, I say the covenant itself is the Ten Commandments, people. So do me a favor. Read for me, then. I'll throw some stuff on the table right quick and set a foundation. So first thing first, let's go to Exodus 20. Start off at 1.
Okay, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep holy.
Now, this is where we at, people. This is the covenant. I'm going to show you that this is the covenant. It say what? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 9 and 10, please.
6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work.
So, 6 days you got to labor and do all your work. Read on.
But the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate.
Now that right there already lets you know that the stranger is in the covenant. Because he got to keep this covenant too if he sojourned amongst Israel. I want to put that out there too right quick. Read on.
For in 6 days the Lord had made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it.
Now that's it, right? Let's go back to Exodus 19 right quick to set the foundation, 7 through 8. Remember, we just read the covenant. That's what I stated, right? Now we're going back here to 19 to set the premise straight.
Exodus chapter 19 and verse 7. And Moses came, called the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Okay.
So, he turned to the Lord, right? Let's skip down. No, we need to go up. Go up to 3 through 5 now.
Okay. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I brought you on eagle's wings, and brought you to them. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people.
And then it say, as we read in 8 and 9, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words to the Lord, right? Then the Lord came in Exodus 20. I should have started in 19, but I thought I'd go back. Now let's go to Deuteronomy. And let's pick it up at 5. You can start at 12. And I'm being specific. This whole chapter is basically dealing with the covenant, which is the Ten Commandments. But I'm going to specific places because we don't want to be here all day. Remember I said, what part of the covenant is the fringes there for? Read.
Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify as the Lord thy God had commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work.
6 days. That means, people, you got to work 6 days and do some labor. That don't mean you sit around. So if you ain't got nothing to do, you at least should put in the work for the Lord. Right? You got to do some work for 6 days. This is what's being commanded you. Most people don't look there to talk about that. I want to highlight that. Right? Go ahead.
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy man, nor thy servant. Excuse me, nor thy maid servant, nor thy ass, nor thy ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate, that thy man servant and thy maid servant may rest as well as thou.
Mm-hmm. You see what it said? The stranger too, right?
That he may rest as well as you.
Yep. Read on.
And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother.
Hold up, skip down. 22 and start reading.
These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount of the midst of the fire, in the mount out of the midst of the fire, excuse me, of the cloud and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. He added no more, and he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me.
So he wrote no more. You can't add or take away from that, people. He wrote these on the two tables of stone. We see that covenant is right there. The Sabbath day is in itself is a covenant, people, laid from the foundation of the earth. But the rest of this is also the covenant, the Ten Commandments. This is what he's going to put on the tables of your heart and take off the tables of the stone. Right? That way you can worship him in spirit and in truth. So how far you go down? 22?
I read just 22.
Okay. Now, let's go to Ezekiel 20. Because I'm magnifying the Sabbath day here, people. I want to do this.
Ezekiel
20.
Okay.
Pick it up at 10.
Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 10. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness.
We just read about that whole scenario. And then he took them to Sinai. And then from Sinai, they journeyed on. You know what I'm saying? Read on.
And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments. What if a man do, he shall even live in them.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord their sanctifier.
Sanctify you, set you apart. He gave you the Sabbath days for that. He gave you the Sabbath day for that. Right? So, read on.
13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbath they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them.
16 now.
Because they despise my judgments that walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols.
They heart, notice this, they heart went after their idols. It's always the heart, people. When the heart goes bad, you spoil good. You spoil goods after that, right? Keep reading. 17.
Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers. Neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God.
Mm-hmm. 21, and then we're going to go back to the old a little bit more.
Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm. So now let's go back to Deuteronomy. This time we're going to go to 4. Remember, I'm pointing out the Sabbath for a reason. That's the only reason I really went there and got in there like that. Deuteronomy 4, and we want to pick it up at pick it up at 10. Okay.
Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. I got that in my notes. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen.
That's it. That's what we want. Because if we went to Exodus 20, it said we don't want to hear the Lord or deal with the Lord no more. So they had to deal with Moses. But he said the Lord is a consumer that's afraid of him. So now, start that back at the top, because this is very significant that the eyes have seen. They seen and heard things transpire.
Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons.
No Francis here, people.
That's what he's talking about.
And he said, your eyes and this and that and the other. It ain't supposed to go on a horn. You ain't supposed to forget these things. You're supposed to teach your children day and night, generation after generation. This is the way it was supposed to be, right? Read on.
Especially the day that the Lord, that thou stoodest before the Lord, thy God at Horeb.
Horeb, Sinai. The same mountain. They just, you know, the Bible do stuff like that. Read on.
When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood upon under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments.
Even 10 commandments, his covenant. And that Sabbath day is sitting there, hey! Change. His Sabbath day is in there, people. It's a part of his covenant. Like I said, before he gave you the Ten Commandments, when you read in the beginning of the book, you see the covenant was written right there. The Sabbath itself is known as a covenant, people. But you can't separate it from the Ten Commandments and everything. It's in there. Now, let's go to Exodus 34.
And he wrote them up on the two tables of stone. Just want to throw that in
there. He wrote them on the two tables of stone. Because pretty soon he's going to write them on the two tables of your heart. He's going to give you that heart transplant that I love to talk about. Because when the heart is right and perfect with God, then you know what you are. You're perfect with God. You worship him in spirit and in truth now. So when brother's heart on the fringes, you know, I don't have no problem with that due to the fact that if you want to do that, that's not against commandments. If you do anything all against the commandments, then it's a problem. But if you keep that, that ain't against God. But you can't force other people and tell them they're going to be condemned because they ain't wearing fringes. You can't do that. So now you want to argue, ooh, should we pick and choose? Nah, God chose before he even gave you them what it was to walk in righteousness. Number one, Abraham is the father of righteousness. He believed God and it was counted unto righteousness. Right? So 34, and we're going to pick it up at 28. Yeah, Exodus 34.
Okay. And verse 28.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the table the words of the covenant.
What counted in that Ten Commandments? The Sabbath day, people, remember. I'm pointing at the Sabbath day because when we get over here to when the fringes was added, you're going to see why they was added. And it'll be because the breaking of his covenant. And the fringes are now to remind you. That's what they was there for, to remind you. But remember, remind. You got to, that's dealing with the mind, reminding you of something. Go ahead, bro. 29.
Okay. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down that Moses wist not that the skin of his face showed while he talked with him.
Mm-hmm. Moses started, you know, shining on him, right? So now, is that enough to show the covenant and show the particular portion of it? What you say?
Yeah, the covenant, yeah.
That's taking counsel, people. I love when my brother around, you know, get the bounce off him, ask him, is that good, bro? I don't get to do that. I don't have too many people that, you know, in that position. So, let's just go to Numbers now. We might as well get it in and show you what happened, people, and why these fringes even got put on the table. Then we'll deal with the rest of the stuff that need to be dealt with. Numbers 15 and 39.
Okay. And it shall be unto you a fringe. You may look upon.
Yeah, we're going to go back up. I just want to read this because I want it highlighted in your notes. Highlight this. Then we're going to go up. Then we're going to come back down.
Okay, cool. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes,
after which you used to go a horn. I want you to look on these fringes so you won't go a horn. I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquities. This is what he's talking about, right? So now, how much of this would you like to deal with? Because, you know, it depends on the time frame we're going to use to deal with this.
I want to go read 40 just to remember again.
All right.
That ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to put on that.
So now, if you look at this Numbers 15, people, I just want you to examine it some. If you look at this Numbers 15, when it start off, it said, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land of your habitation, which I give unto you, I will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering of sacrifices, and performing a vow, and a freewill offering, or in your solemn feast, to make a sweet savor unto the Lord of a hue and of the flock. Then shall ye offer. So it's talking offerings, right? Then it say burnt offerings, this and that is going through. Then let me put the strange in there for you. I'm just running through it right quick. If you read 13, it said, all that are going to the country shall do these things after this manner, in offering an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. And if a stranger sojourn with you, or whomsoever be amongst you in your generation, and will offer an offering made by fire or a sweet savor unto the Lord, as ye do, so shall he do. One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you. An ordinance forever, even in your generations, and ye are, as ye are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. Right? One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel when you come into the land, so on and so forth. Now let's get down to some key parts here. Get up at 21. I want you to examine this verse, this chapter 15, while we're doing this, people, because it's gonna show some stuff here. This man was picking up sticks. This man was about to burn something. He was looking to make a fire. If I ain't mistaken, I ain't been here in a while. I could be totally out of my mind and saying some stuff. But let's see.
It says verse 21 of the first, Numbers 15:21, right?
That's right.
Of the first of your dough ye shall give unto the Lord an eve offering in your generations. And if ye have heard and not observe all these commandments which the Lord hath spoken unto Moses, even all that the Lord hath commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that the Lord commanded Moses and his folk among generations, then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering, according to the matter, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven, and for his ignorance, and they shall bring their offering, sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel and strangers and journeys among them.
There go that stranger again. The Lord always looked out for the stranger that was amongst Israel. Because what? It's one law for them and Israel. Sorry about cutting you there, bro. What you said?
At the last of his sin, all the people were in ignorance. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering.
28.
And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinned in ignorance. When he sinned by ignorance before the Lord to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him.
Now, this is talking about sinning in ignorance, right? Now, we just gave you the covenant and what it was, and we read the Sabbath in there all the time, and it kept telling you 6 days, and we know even at that time, manna was being fed to them 6 days, and on the seventh day, no manna. This is how you deal with the Sabbath day. Them new mooners might as well pop off a couple shots of them. Them new mooners don't know that once you do heaven, it will stay the same no matter when the moon pop up, on what day of the week or what day of the month. That seven-day cycle stay the same. 6 days you get manna, and on that seven you don't get none. And it stayed that way for 40 years. Non-stop. Cycle never broke. No matter what the moon did. But let's keep reading.
Verse 29, you shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But the soul that doeth all presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and just that soul shall be cut off from among his people.
That soul should be cut off if he do something presumptuously. If you do it through ignorance, then you can atone for it. You do it presumptuously, hey, you get cut off out of the land of the living. That's what that means. Read on.
Because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandments, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him.
Now, they reading this, or they getting this information, but when it comes down to it, they act like the hell know what to do. So now, read on.
And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man and they gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day.
Huh? You were on Sabbath day? You gathering sticks? What's going on here? They question them, right? Read on.
And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation.
Hey, y'all, we found this guy gathering sticks. Is he breaking the Sabbath day? What's going on? How we deal with this? Read on.
And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him.
It was not declared. The Lord didn't say exactly what to do. But he did. He said it should be cut off, right? Read on.
And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp, and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses.
Why? Because he was breaking the Sabbath day. Now you can argue, was he picking up the sticks to start a fire, this and all this? He was doing something on the Sabbath day that was not pleasing to God presumptuously, and he get cut off from the land of the living, as it said. He wasn't ignorant of the fact that you weren't supposed to be doing. Everybody else wasn't doing nothing. That's why they looking at him like, what you doing? This is the simplicity of it, people. It's nothing deep. Now we're going to get into the friends is being instituted. Read on.
Verse 37, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them, they fringe the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue.
Now, people wear those little tassel things, they try to call them fringes. Them ain't fringes. Fringes is what them brothers be wearing, and they got them little things hanging down, and they got that ribbon of blue across the bottom of their wear. Those are fringes. So if you say you keep Torah, and you ain't got fringes, you ain't even keeping Torah right. Even though we are making the argument that you can keep this law if you want to, but it ain't going to be against you, a penalty of death, if you're not wearing fringes. Because the thing is, remember the law. But he said he's going to put in your heart. How can you forget something that weighs on your heart every day, seeing that it's written on your heart? That's the key to this whole thing. Truly it is. How you going to forget something? You know how people write the note on the refrigerator in the morning? And this is what he told me to do with the commandments. Not just the fringes, but put them up on your doorpost. Put them commandments up, because if you break them, you're going to get stoned. You're going to get killed. Remember these commandments. There's life and death. If you choose to go against them presumptuously, ignorantly, you might do something, but presumptuously, gone. You out of there. This is why the fringes was instituted, because of the breaking of the Sabbath day. That's why I kept pointing at it. The breaking of the covenant. And these fringes is most definitely, you remember the Sabbath day. But the rest of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, the two tables of stone, right? We declared that to be the covenant. Okay. Read on. Deuteronomy 11 and 18. Because I want you to remember them. That's how bad he look. Wherever you go, you should see the commandments. But if you got them locked in your head, how you gonna forget that?
Exactly.
That's like they saying the argument for the future. They put a chip in you that you can't lose, and put all your identity and your credit card and stuff on your in you. How can you lose that? How you gonna forget that? You wake up in the morning, walk out the house, it's in you.
Yep.
So if the word of the Lord, he done put it in your forehead. How can you lose it? How can you? What you need to look at? You need to look at the dope poster. Nah, it's right up there in your brain. You can't lose it. It don't fall out. You can ignore it. You can override it. A fool does sometimes, right? Especially when you know you're gonna get cut off.
If you can remember. But the fringes on, you can remember why you have to come on. If you have to get up to go to work and you remember you got to throw them on, you can remember why you have to come on.
Right. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 30. We really want 11 through 14, but 6 work too.
And the Lord God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live.
Mm-hmm. So he's talking about circumcising the heart, right?
Yeah.
Let's skip some. No, you could keep reading. Just keep reading a little bit. To 14. Okay. We got time if you want to.
And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thy enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecute. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day.
When he put that new covenant on you, because that's the circumcision of the heart. Jeremiah 31 and 31. Read on.
And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee. Thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers.
That's when you come into the new covenant. You don't think you're in the new covenant? No wonder you still screaming Deuteronomy 28 shows who I am. Read on.
If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it.
It don't say in the fringes that you may do it. It says in your mouth and in your heart, meaning it's constantly what's in the heart comes out the mouth. This is what Jesus said. Man is not defiled because of what he eats, because he didn't wash his hands and the little dirt get in there. They go out in the drawer when you take a dump. It won't kill you. But the thoughts that's in your head, whoredom, deceit, deceivingness, this, that, and all that wicked stuff, that's going to get you burnt. So, I wanted to go to Abraham, but I don't need to go to Abraham. Because Abraham walked personally before the Lord, and you know fringes won. The first time fringes was given in Numbers 15. And Abraham is not in Numbers 15. He way before that in Genesis. He even in Leviticus, he's way before that. Because you got to have Isaac, then you got to have Jacob, then you got to have Joseph go down in Egypt, then you got to have Moses come, then they come out. And then as the books say, 400 years unto the law, that's after he made the covenant of circumcision and stuff with Abraham. So 400 years later, you get some fringes. If fringes was the righteousness of God, they would have been there way before that man picked up them sticks. Where you want to go? I can bring some more heart stuff out. And we go right to the New Testament and get, you know what I'm saying? How y'all want to do this?
I think we pretty much kind of like counted a little bit of the heart and the covenant. And it should be simple. And if anybody got questions, they can ask. But I want to kind of like move it. I want to like move it further because you spoke about the new covenant. And we read the old covenant. And we just really talking a switch of two things from the tables of stone to the tables of your heart. And one of the two different sets of blood. You had animals. And you were dealing with Moses, who was the intercessor. Now we need to look at the intercessor. In the new, we need to be able to look at the comparison of the two, which Moses told us to look at in Deuteronomy chapter 18. I want to read 15 through 19. He going to point us to somebody. And this individual that's coming, he going to tell us that we got to hearken unto his voice, and it is going to be required of us. So he pointed us to something. Now, I just want to read this real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 18. We're going to read verse 15 through 19. Since the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto them ye shall hearken. So he going to be like me, but this is the one that you're going to have to listen to right here. Even though you had to listen to Moses, but you saw it, still didn't work. So it says, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. We read that earlier in Exodus 20, where Paul spoke about it. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, it's a lot of keys here that I just don't want to get into too deep. I will require it of him. So he going to require this of you if you don't listen to the guy that's coming on the scene. And this guy that's coming on the scene, we know who he is, but for the sake of proving what we're talking about, let's read it real quick. Acts 3. I'm going to read 2-3 verses over here. So, the New Testament to the laws of the testimony, it can tell us who we just read about in Deuteronomy. Acts chapter 3 and verse 20. Acts chapter 3 and verse 20 says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Wow. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So now,
hold up.
This is the guy we need to focus on, but go ahead.
Let's get him to speak it on it. Let's go to John 5, pick it up at 39.
Oh, yeah. St. John chapter 5 and verse
39.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from me, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name.
Ain't that what he said? Ain't that what you just read? Read on.
Yes, sir. And ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive. mother to the father, there is one that accuses you even most, and whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?
So if you don't believe that a prophet like unto Moses was to come, not in his own name, but in God's name, and to do the thing that he's supposed to do, as he just read, he was preached unto you, even in the wilderness. That's when we go to 1 Corinthians 15 and show like he said, we're going to try to stay focused. I got to stay focused. Remind me to stay focused, Kevin. Where you want to go now?
I want to go to Hebrews 7. Because in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to quote it for you, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through verse 5, you'll see Paul explaining that Moses was, of all people, Moses was baptized under Moses under the cloud, the sea, etc., etc. And he told them, they ate of that rock, they drank of that rock, and the rock that followed them was Christ. But the point we hear that they was baptized under Moses, this individual has to be exactly like Moses. So he began, he
intercessor,
lawgiver, all that to the people, right? He took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people. He had them to agree to the covenant. This is the same that this individual has to do. Guess what? He even gave them a reminder when they was rebellious. So Jesus Christ, he has to be able to do the same thing. If not, then the glove won't fit. So make sure that it can fit.
And if it don't fit, you must acquit. But if it fits, you going down, buddy.
Right. So Hebrews chapter 8, I'm going to recall. And I think you know exactly what I'm doing and what I'm saying. So you can expound if you like. Because it takes time to read and say, stay little stuff here and there. But Hebrews chapter 8, and I'm going to go there for one. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the song. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens.
Uh-huh. We know that in the Psalms, it says he should be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and that's where he dwell on the right hand side of the Father until he came down. But go ahead. We know what we're talking about.
Uh-huh. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, Lord pitched, and not man.
And this is in heaven.
Yes. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of a necessity that this man have some to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law.
Mm-hmm. According to the law. And we was reading about the burnt offerings and stuff back there in Numbers, right?
Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was a model of God when he was to make the tabernacle. For says he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mountain.
That's because he's been intercessor in the heavens for a long time. He's been a priest of the order of Melchizedek. How long? Forever. Forever starts somewhere and forever never ends. Yeah. Right? So, forever. Read on.
And two, real quick, the Lord, he don't do stuff for nothing. He got a point. So Moses was a freelancer when the Lord told him to give them fringes. He got this. He's showing us something. We haven't picked it up yet. So it says, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. But if the first covenant had been faultless, then should the place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them,
them, the people, we done read, even in Ezekiel 20, they polluted the Sabbath. They did that. And finding fault with their brother picking up them sticks, he even killed them, cut them off from the congregation, right?
He said, behold, gonna make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with the fathers in the day. I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord.
Hold up, what are you reading it?
Verse 10.
Oh, you skipped, all right.
Let's skip something. Oh, yeah, I did my bad. Verse 10.
You said, but a chain of was six. For the first covenant had been found false, should not place have been sought for a second. That's what you need to pick up at 7.
I read all of it. You must.
You did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Man, I must have blacked out there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So, notice two things. He told you to write them on your doorposts and all that. Notice he talked about writing them here, just the same way. So, but I wanted to point that out to show you that he said he going to make a transformation. You can also read this in Jeremiah 31, Carl quoted it earlier.
Yep.
Verses 31 through 33. So Paul is quoting the prophet. We'll go and read Jeremiah 31. So the question is, how is he going to write it in there? This is what I want to show now. St. John chapter 14. How is he going to use this method to write these laws in our heart? St. John chapter 14, and I'm picking up at verse 15. It says, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. We ain't concerned whose person is or what names or nothing like that. We ain't concerned with that. We just concerned with the fact that he's going to do something. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Skip down to verse 26. And when he comes to you, what is he going to do? But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So guess what? Is this right here something that an individual would have to pay attention to? Of course he would, or she would, because he's talking about giving this to us. Because if the Lord is going back to the heavens, right, then he said he will not leave us comfortless. Then who is it that he's saying? He just promised us the Spirit of Truth, Holy Ghost, the comfort. He said he's gonna send them, in his name. He shall teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance. That's exactly what fridge was in place for, to remind us of what the covenant said.
To remember the covenant.
Remember that covenant. That's exactly what it was for. And now I just want to show you something else. 16. Go over to chapter 16, 13. 16 and 13, and it says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He's saying it again now in another chapter. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he heard, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Let me know it is an individual, because you can't hear without ears, and you can't speak without a mouth, and you can't bring no message without having a body. Anyway, verse 14, it says, very important to have it documented that we was all baptized unto who? Moses. That's what he said. So now we have to be baptized unto this individual right here. And with baptism, something important comes. What we're speaking about right now, I just want to read that real quick. Carl, you can feel free to jump in, whatever. But let me go to Acts chapter 2 real quick, real fast.
All right.
Acts chapter 2, so they can see that this gift that was promised is going to be spoken about, and it's a necessity that you have. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up at verse 36.
And remember, this was prophesied too, that they would speak with new tongues and they would prophesy and do things. Just to remind you.
Yep. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God that made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, pricked them in their heart, and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So they want to know. So let's see what Peter gave them the advice to do. And Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. So if you want your sins blotted out or forgiven, this is what you have to do, according to what we read. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what is the gift of the Holy Ghost according to what we just read in St. John chapter 14 and chapter 16? That he's supposed to come to you and lead you and guide you into all truth. Not with his own wisdom or knowledge, but according to what Jesus said, I will show unto him mine, and he's going to show it unto you. Okay? So now, we see that the gift of the Holy Ghost is this individual is supposed to come and he's supposed to enlighten. So where do a person get their light that in their mind? And these laws that we was talking about, we read in Hebrews chapter 8, this is how you get up there. Because the Holy Ghost job is to what? Make sure that he come and enlighten you after you have followed this procedure. After you have followed this procedure, which is coming under the covenant, the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I got plenty more, but go ahead, Carl.
Now, with that baptism, if we go to John 1 and pick it up at 24, and it's saying, they which were sent were the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptize thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah? Right? Neither that prophet. What prophet? The one that was to come. You can pick it up. 26:1-26. That prophet that we just got through reading about that Moses said was to come, they saying, is that you, John? Because remember, when John was born, his father didn't speak until the day he was born and named the boy. So the people was like, ooh, a miracle. So right. John was a miracle child in the sense of the word. Mama couldn't get pregnant, so on and so on. Now she done got pregnant, and the boy come out, the daddy can't talk to the, you know what I'm saying? They took note of that. And then John was acting weird all the time, you know, with his spirit on him, because he was the forerunner. Remember, when he was in the stomach, he leaked when he heard. So John was a special cat, too. He wasn't just crazy walking around with cameras. You know, we go read, though.
Malachi says he's supposed to pave the way for him, prepare the way for the Lord. But John 1:26, John answered them, saying, I baptize him with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, becometh the man which is preferred before me.
Preferred before him means he was already before him, and he was preferred to be chosen for John. Read on.
For he was before me.
Yep, this John. He was before me. Who the oldest?
John the Baptist is.
Go ahead.
And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John brought record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him.
Hey, see, he got the Holy Spirit, right? Go ahead.
And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
This is the Son of God.
So
that is the prophet. Remember they asked John, they said, if you ain't the prophet, then what you doing? So now, people, this simple. Let's get this law in your heart. Let's go to Jeremiah 31. And we're going to read 31. We ain't got to read all of it. Because, I don't know. Depending on how you feel, I don't want to read all of it. To the law, because he never spoke of the things that he spoke until somebody broke a law or somebody sinned. Then he said, okay, you got to do this. Put these fringes on. Kill the animals. Do this. Do that. Right? We know.
Excuse me. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh.
So remember, he made the tabernacle after the things in heaven, right? And when Jesus came up on Mary Magdalene, them, he said, touch me not, I have not ascended to my Father. This is his true pre-ascension body, right? Then he ascended and he came back. Then he ate some fish and stuff. Then in Acts 1, he ascended again, right? So he ascended, descended to ascend again, right? But read on.
And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true heart.
And would the Lord seek who? Those that worship him in spirit and truth and a true heart.
Yep. Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Having your heart sprinkled with that blood and having your tail dipped in that water to represent the death and the resurrection. And your mind should be renewed now. All you got to do is wait on the change of your body and you will be perfect. You will be God. No longer just called the Son of God. You will be able to be amongst the two. In their likeness and after their kind. But that's another come up. Read on.
Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
Okay. So now let's go to Psalms 47:7-8. We're gonna get this thing in your heart, man. Let me show you another way that it gets into the heart. Psalms 47-8.
Then said I, lo, I come in a volume of a book. It is written to me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yeah, thy law is within my heart.
Now you see what Jesus did due to the fact that the law was in his heart. He was sinless. And people will argue that Jesus woke friends. It don't say it in the book, people. But it'll say he had a him. And then that's when people go dealing with the words and stuff. Then they'll tell you what Jesus had to keep the law. So he had to wear the fringes or he was breaking the law. These are the type of conversations you get and stuff, right? But tell me this. When did Jesus sin? Never, right? So, Jesus never sinned. Did he need something to remind him not to sin? I wouldn't say he needed something to remind him not to sin.
Not at all.
He had the Spirit of God on to preach and do this and do that, as to say. Now we know he had the law of God in his heart.
Yeah.
So.
Psalms 45 say. That grace was poured into his lips. That grace that was poured into his lips is the word that the Father gave him to speak. See, Moses said it in Deuteronomy 18. He said that the Father was going to give him what to say. And if the Father is giving him what to say, he got strict instructions. So he don't need a earthly reminder as man would. He would need an earthly reminder. Now, would he have them on just for show? Maybe, maybe not. I don't read words say directly he had a friend, you know, like Carl said, him, yeah, why you studied it too.
Now, but, let's go to Isaiah, though, right quick. Isaiah, I'm going to show you something. And the Lord did.
20.
Yeah, 2-4. And the Lord told him to do this. So, him doing this, meaning he wasn't sinning because he done this. But notice what he was doing here. Still carried out his task. Didn't nobody stone. Didn't nobody kill him. Did nothing happen to him. Let's read. Let's put this on the table.
Isaiah chapter 20 and verse 2. At the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amos, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins. shoe from my foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners and the Ethiopian captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt.
So this man walked around 3 years,
yep,
bucky naked.
Yep.
No stoning, nobody reprimanding him, none of that. How do they know the Lord told them that? You know how people look at prophets and even people today. Oh, you heard something from a spirit, somebody told you something, so you run around here for 3 years buck naked with your manhood dangling your butt all out. Huh? Alright, we finna stone you. You must have now your fringes on. Cause you don't remember not to be around here streaking. Nah, I love them people. I just wanted to point that out to you. I point it out a lot. But I just wanted to put it out again.
I had that in my mouth too. And I was like, wow, I knew he was going to hit that one.
Yeah, you know I had to throw it in there. Now,
what do you say?
Let's go back to let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Up here looking like, what a verse that I need. 2 Corinthians, what I say, 5?
Yeah, chapter 5.
Hold up. Let's just go to Hebrews. Do I need Hebrew? Okay. Let's remove. Scratch that. We're going to go to Romans 10. We're going to get up at 4. Romans, you know, that's one of my favorite books, too. We're going to go to Romans 10. Because now we're going to go back to where it say, who will ascend and go get the word of God, or who would do that, but it says it's going to be nigh to you. Now Christ's going to be in you, and then I'm even show you the spirit that you should have in you, which is also the circumcision of the heart and stuff. We're going to go to Romans 10, then we're going to go to Romans 8. Pick it up at 4.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Everyone that believeth in. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them.
We read that them earlier. Read on.
But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above.
Shut up!
Or shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ from again from the dead.
Now, it said bring word up in the back, right? We know Christ is called the word God in Revelation and even in John and stuff, right? Go ahead, Kevin, read.
But what saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach.
Where you at? You fell off or something?
Nah, that was verse 8.
Read on.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
See, with that heart thing again, now with the heart what?
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness.
Mm-hmm. With the heart, man. Okay, thank you for throwing me off. Everybody on Blog Talk, I'm back. I see y'all ran away, but we're going to keep going. So now let's go back to Romans 8, and you can pick it up at to be spiritual minded is what?
To be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Be spiritual minded is life and peace. People, if you really fall off and came back in, just go watch on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/IsraelDoctrine. But y'all ain't missed that much. Now, it say to be spiritual minded. Spiritual minded is having that spiritual circumcision, having them commandments in your heart. That's why I wanted to go here. Now, that's having the Spirit of God in you, which His law is spirit and life, and we could go to Romans 7 and deal with that, right? So now, skip down to 10.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that hath raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
And your mind is quickened by the word of God. Made alive by the word of God. Right? And then you become like new babes and stuff. You got anything you can add to this or want to add with
me?
Yeah.
No, I mean, we go to our famous one, John 6:63.
6:63, the words of spirit, they are life and stuff. Go ahead.
It says 6:63.
But remember, I'm talking about that born again and stuff. People, we're going to deal with that, the mental rebirth. That's why he wants you to worship him in spirit and truth with the mind.
Yes, 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are life, they are spirit, and they are life. We'll skip down to 68 and read what Peter, 67 and 68, what Peter was at. Jesus asked Peter, what he said. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
And let them words dwell in you. And if that spirit or that word is in you, then you have eternal life for real. You got the spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Ask something else real quick. Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's going to tie right into it. Matthew chapter 19 real quick. Now watch what the guy asks him about eternal life. And watch what his answer be. And watch what he quote. These words are supposed to be in your mind. He putting them right back where they're supposed to be. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And now the guy for the ask which, and these are the ones we've been reading in the covenant all this time. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not kill. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the gold pot. They had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing